And welcome. This is Manage Your Money God's Way, presented by Compass Catholic Ministries. Now, our goal is to help you remove all the debt that you've accumulated, no matter how small, no matter how large your debt may be. And we do this using biblical principles. That's right. How you handle your finances are laid out right in the Bible. And we teach these principles as part of our small group Bible study called Navigating Your Finances God's Way. To learn more how we can help, go to CompassCatholic.org. My name is Steve Holbrook, and joining me are the co-founders of Compass Catholic Ministries, John and Evelyn Bean. It is hard to believe that we are days away from Thanksgiving, and then the Christmas season really cranks up. But you don't need me to tell you that. Just walk into any store, John, and that Christmas is going to hit you right in the face.
You know, I haven't been to a shopping for quite a while, so that doesn't surprise me. What does surprise me is that they haven't already started with Valentine's Day.
Now, Christmas is a much bigger spending opportunity than Valentine's Day.
Okay.
You know, it seems like anymore we just don't celebrate each holiday on its own. We just run from one holiday to another.
The way I feel, the year goes by so fast that it doesn't seem like we've even done the 4th of July yet.
That's because you're getting older, and the older you get, the faster time goes.
Yeah, really.
Unfortunately.
I really needed you to tell me that.
But, you know, so many times now we don't even think about what the holiday is, why we're celebrating it, or what we're celebrating it for. We just kind of rush from one season of buying stuff to another.
Everything is about buying more stuff. You got to get your stuff. And you got to get more, always. You know, unfortunately, that puts a lot of financial pressure on people to spend money that they probably don't have.
You know, and I feel sorry for a lot of young parents because there's a lot of pressure to buy stuff. And they're pushed into a situation where they may be spending money they don't have trying to fund Christmas this year. And that's not a good situation to be in.
You know, according to CNN, Evelyn, two-thirds of America's gift-giving families spend more than they can afford.
And I can believe that because the kids are taught from an early age, based on everything they hear from society and the TV and the internet, to want the stuff you were talking about. So they put a lot of pressure on parents to buy them things. And unfortunately, a lot of times the parents fall prey to that pressure.
Yeah. And, you know, what are they going to do if they haven't been saving all year long? They don't have a cash account. They're going to use their credit cards. And unfortunately, because they don't have the cash, then they're not going to pay those cards off. And it'll take them months. I think the average time to get the Christmas debt paid off for the typical American who spends all their does all their shopping with credit cards is like 10 months or 10 point something months. It's October.
And that just leaves them constantly behind on trying to pay off the Christmas bills.
Exactly.
You know, the other interesting thing, because I read the same article you read in CNN, is that people often take more drastic measures to fund their Christmas purchases. You know, they were talking about 14% of people will use funds from their emergency savings to pay for Christmas.
That's one of the shocking ones. But, you know, I think the most shocking one, and I don't know, all three of these numbers that we've got are just unbelievable. But 11% are going to take money from their retirement account to pay for Christmas.
And that's just really bad.
That is bad.
You know, I hate to tell you people, but you're not going to be able to get a loan to retire on. So don't be spending your retirement money on stuff that's going to, you know, won't even exist by the time that you retire.
Probably won't even exist in 6 months from now.
I think that's an awful long time, probably 3 weeks.
You know, the other thing was the number of people, which is also 11%, that take out payday loans to pay for Christmas presents.
And a payday loan, the interest rates on payday loans are astronomical, into three digits.
You think these are people that they want to look good in front of their kids, so they want to buy them exactly what their kids want? The latest video games, gadgets, electronics?
I do. I think a lot of parents are hesitant to tell the kids we can't afford that, or we're on a budget, or we're trying to save, or we're trying to pay off bills. I mean, my parents had absolutely no problem telling me we can't afford that. I mean, I heard that growing up a lot. I'm sure you did too, didn't you, yes. Steve? And it was just a fact of life. We can't afford that.
But when I hear these numbers of taking funds from a retirement plan or payday loan to fund Christmas, wow.
It's just mind-boggling, isn't it?
I know. They'll be paying for that. Like you said, they'll be paying until the following October of 2019.
Christmas should be about creating memories and not nightmares of how they're going to pay off their credit cards. You know, they should be creating memories that the kids are going to remember for forever and ever. And the kids aren't going to remember what they got for Christmas, like you said, Evelyn, in 6 months. Why waste money on something like that?
So, Steve, what is your favorite memory of Christmas when you were growing up?
Actually, I had a twin brother and an older brother. So the memories were more about how my parents, because we really didn't have a lot growing up. So what my parents would do with if they bought a toy, he would get a dump truck, I would get a grader.
Oh, so you had to play together.
Yeah, exactly. So, but you know, at that age, you got a toy. That's all we cared about. I remember getting new pajamas. We always got something musical because our family was all into music and stuff. But the memories, believe it or not, is about food. Coming from an Italian family, Christmas is like the mecca of eating.
Eating holiday.
No, you start Christmas Eve and you don't stop until New Year's. Seriously.
John, what about you? What's your favorite memory of Christmas growing up?
Well, I have two memories that come to mind. One is eating, although I have no idea what kind of meals we had other than we probably had, you know, a big turkey or something like that, maybe a ham. I don't know, but I couldn't tell you that. But my favorite Christmas cookie
is chocolate chip cookies. Those are not an official Christmas cookie.
Hey, they're white and brown, and, you know, it's colorful, and my mother would make them by the dozens, multi-dozens.
So if you have a home recipe and you want John to sample them, send them to.
Just send me 6 dozen so I can make sure I get a good sampling.
Don't send the recipe, please.
And a gallon of milk. Yeah.
But the other thing is when I was growing up, we lived in Denver. Every year, the Forest Service in the Rocky Mountain National Forest would designate a part of the forest for thinning, I guess is what you would call it, thinning out. And so you could go up into the mountains, you know, scour the mountainside on this designated area or in this designated area to find your Christmas tree. We always cut our Christmas tree and brought it home. So we always had a really live tree, and we'd spend the whole day, you know, looking for a tree, cutting it down, getting it tied onto the car. And the other thing I remember about that, and this is not such a, well, it didn't bother me, but I know it wasn't pleasant for my mom and dad, is that the roads to get up to where the trees were pretty much always gravel. And I think my dad had to replace the windshield every year because he got so pitted from people throwing up stones and stuff like that as they drove down the gravel roads. We would cut the tree down the second Saturday of December.
So, how about you, Evelyn?
Oh, I remember our Christmas tree experience. We always had a crooked tree that was bald in one spot. no matter what we did, my dad always picked out one that was bald in one spot.
We had the old aluminum one with the rotating lights.
Oh.
Seriously. Like I said, we're Italian.
And you know, Christmas Eve Mass, mm-hmm. midnight Mass at Grandma's house, and then everybody went back to her house, which was very, 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 very tiny. And there were like 20 of us crowded around this little table, kids on uncles and aunts' laps, and we were all crowded into that little room talking and remembering things. So it's interesting that our memories are about special people and special times and special food, but not one of us mentioned anything that we got for Christmas that year. So we're encouraging our listeners not to get caught up into thinking that somehow you can buy happiness for your friends and family at Christmas.
You know, Christmas is a wonderful time of the year, but it's not worth putting your long-term finances at risk in order to buy presents or to try and keep up with some false concept of what Christmas is all about.
So if you haven't been purchasing gifts or saving money for Christmas each month, here are some tips to avoid going into debt for Christmas presents this year.
Think about what you're doing. That's the biggest thing. You know, you're going to feel pressure, maybe, to buy gifts for all of your coworkers, or, you know, every one of your family members, and maybe your neighbors too. I mean, wow, that's just, it boggles my mind just thinking about all those kinds of things. And I'm not the kind of person that does that. You might have guessed, I don't spend my money too often.
But it's not worth going into debt for Christmas, buying presents out of a sense of obligation. I mean, that's not what the whole gift-giving thing is about, right?
Yes, I agree with that. And I think it's better if you tone things down, or just, you know, make a declaration, hey, I'm not going to do gifts this year. Or, you know, maybe you, if you buy a gift card, like a $5 or a $10 gift card that somebody can use, and put a note with it, a personal handwritten note, and tell them how much you value their help at work, or their friendship, or their camaraderie, or, you know, whatever.
Their neighborliness when you're out of town and they're picking up the mail.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I think that's a great way to do it. Or maybe you make a dozen cookies and give them some cookies and stuff like that. Yes, that's going to cost you a little bit of money, but it's not going to cost anywhere near, you know, what you might spend in the store. So.
Well, and I think a personal message is going to mean a lot more to people than some overpriced item that you've bought out of a sense of obligation, because it's a way to appreciate the people in your life and to be thoughtful without breaking the bank. It's a nice... Those handwritten notes are the things that people treasure, not the stuff that somebody buys them.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with that.
You're listening to Manage Your Money God's Way, presented by Compass Catholic Ministries. We make all of our past radio shows available on demand at compasscatholic.org. Simply scroll down on the homepage and click on the button that says podcast. Well, today we're providing tips so you don't go into debt or deeper into debt as you start your Christmas shopping season. And John, I really liked what you said a few minutes ago about not having to go out and buy gifts for everybody, that it's okay to make cookies as an example to show your appreciation to friends, family, neighbors. Not everyone has a budget just to go out and buy gifts for everybody.
And I like the ideas of the cookies, you know, a cookie for you, a cookie for me, cookie for her, cookie for me, cookie for you, Steve, cookie for me. It works out. It's great.
So I've got my Christmas shopping done for my husband.
He gets six dozen, we get a half.
You know, for many of us, being able to give beautiful, expensive gifts would be nice, and we like to be generous. But reality says that we probably can't do what we can't afford, because you can't afford to be Santa to everyone in your life during the holidays.
And, you know, making everyone you love feel special at Christmas is awesome. But you don't have to do it by spending all this money and sacrificing your financial stability. There are lots of ways to create special fun times and gifts without going on a spending spree.
You know, I know we did this with your family one time, John. We did Secret Santas, and everybody picked a name from the hat, and everybody bought one present for one other person in the family. We did this with Marilyn and the kids, so that we didn't end up buying 15 presents for everybody in the family. We just could concentrate on that one person and whatever that one person wanted. So that was a much easier thing than trying to buy presents for the whole family.
And you were able to get them a gift that they would appreciate.
Something that was a little nicer than what you could afford if you were buying for everybody.
Right, right. So I think that's a great idea. And you know, there's nothing sadder, I think, than seeing a Christmas tree with no presents under it. That's a great way to, you know you're going to go to somebody's house and you're going to have Christmas together. You just pile all those presents underneath the one tree. And it looks good. And
we can always wrap empty boxes if you'd like.
That's exactly what my mother did.
Just wrapped empty boxes so it looked good under the Christmas tree?
Yeah, I mean, that was the majority of them were empty boxes, and we knew it, but it looked, like you said, it looks really nice when you see a lot of gifts under the tree.
See, we always had the Christmas manger scene under the tree. We never put presents under the tree until Christmas morning when Santa Claus came. Mm-hmm. We always had the manger there. So it took up the empty space under the tree where there weren't any presents.
And we never had any empty boxes to use, because typically you didn't get a present that was only in one box. You might get a present that's in five boxes, and each one of them is wrapped up. in some fashion. And there's some weird ones, too.
Well, one year we bought our son a putter, a golf club putter for Christmas, and we hung it in the Christmas tree, and we played hot and cold with him.
Oh, that's a neat idea.
Oh, it took him half an hour to find it. Because he was in the, you know,
the tree
shed,
was in the corner.
And the shaft was, yeah.
The shaft was down the trunk of the tree.
That's a neat idea.
On the back side. It took him forever to find that.
Well, and one year we did a treasure hunt with the grandkids.
Yes.
We gave them clues, and they had to go to a certain place and pick up a clue, and then they went to the next place and picked up another clue. And so that kind of stuff works, and it's fun, and the kids remember that. Another thing is the white elephant gift exchange. I know this isn't your favorite thing, John, but it takes a long time to open the presents, and it gets everybody involved. So it's not this 5 minute where everybody tears through the gifts and they're all done and everything's finished.
Well, and when you play games with it, like the next person can pick any of the presents that's been opened instead of picking a new present.
Yes.
You know, that adds a little bit of excitement to it. But you're right, it's not my favorite thing to do.
We've done that with a couple of different groups, and it's usually funny. Everybody gets a number, and the first person picks a gift. The second person can either take their first person's gift or get a new gift, And then you can steal each other's presents. But it's always good to set the rules beforehand so nobody's surprised when they end up.
Or upset.
Yeah.
Because they get something they really wanted, and the next person takes it away from them.
What do you say to parents who try to tie a price tag into how much I love my child?
Don't do it.
The bigger the gift, they're going to love me even more.
Do not do it.
That's an ego kind of a thing, or a pride issue. And they've got a lot more problems in buying Christmas presents, if that's the way they're thinking. And the thing of it is, you know, if the kid's only 3 years old, he doesn't care
right.
in the first place. Mm-hmm. But as he gets older, it won't take him very many years to figure out, you know, which button I've got to push in order to get what I want, because I'm going to make mom or dad feel bad about not buying me the things that are on my list.
So what are your thoughts? I mean, here we are mid-November. At least in Florida, there will be, the weather is not as hot, so there will be more garage sales. The idea of going out and finding toys at a garage sale, especially if your child is in that 3-, 4-, 5-year-old range or 2-year-old range. I mean, what's your thoughts on that?
Do it. The kids don't know.
Yeah, and I can remember when we lived in Raleigh, Matt was 9 or 10 years old. I bought him a used bicycle, and I had a shop that was a little, you know, 10-foot by 10-foot thing out in the backyard. It kept the lawnmower in there and everything else, but I put the bicycle in there, and then I'd go out when he was asleep, and I'd work on it at night, and he couldn't get into it. And, you know, I totally sanded it down and repainted it and put new tires on it and that kind of thing. And he was just so excited when he got that bicycle.
What he saw was a bike. I want a bike.
Exactly.
Here's my bike. It wasn't, oh, my gosh, this is a used bike. My parents don't love me.
Okay, so again, we're in mid-November. What advice do you have for an individual that may not have set up a Christmas budget, and they're going to start doing their Christmas shopping now? What advice can you give someone?
You know, we talked to a family at our parish, and they use the 5-gift rule for their kids, and I think this is a great idea. It's something they want, something they need, something to read, something to wear, and something to share. So that kind of limits how much they're going to buy, and a lot of the stuff on that list is things that kids will really use, like something to wear, something to share. So I say, if you're thinking about how you're going to manage your Christmas budget this year, set up a strategy for what you're going to buy and how you're going to pay for it.
Do they put a limit on the want, you know, the gift that they want? Do they put a price on it?
I think that depends on the budget you've got. I think you need to, like Evelyn said, establish a budget. So
even if you're going out today for the first, you have to have a budget and you have to stick to it.
Yeah, you know. And especially, you know, if you've only got one child or two children, you know, it's a little bit easier. If you've got 6 kids, that just, you know, magnifies the issue of how much money you're going to spend and stuff like that. And those are the kind of situations where you really need to have that budget and say, absolutely, under no circumstances am I going to spend more than X. And that's the way you work it. And hopefully that X times the number of kids that you've got or people you've got to buy for is going to be the same as the amount of money that you have to spend, so that you're not spending the next 10 months after the first of the year all the way till October trying to pay off all this debt.
So with, again, mid-November, you set a budget for Christmas shopping season. That money just doesn't fly from the air. You're taking that money for another from another budget category?
That's one thing that you can do. You know, the spending categories are always flexible, mm-hmm. but you have to realize that if you're taking something out of a category and that category is designed to pay for something once every 3 months, you know, that can cause you problems, and you're going to have to deal with that issue then in 3 months. So, but think about it. You know, if you've got a clothing category and some of the presents that you're going to be buying, Evelyn was talking about something to wear. So that money can come out of the clothing category, the clothing budget. And, you know, different, you can work it that way. The spending categories are flexible. You can only spend 100% of your net take home, mm-hmm. not your gross.
Yeah, well, the other thing is we really encourage people to start saving for Christmas on December 26th. That's when you start planning for Christmas next year.
That was going to be my next question, Evelyn, is let's think about Christmas for 2019. Not that I want to rush things, but you have to get into the mindset of Christmas 2000. When do I start saving for that?
Immediately after this Christmas. Okay. Every paycheck you put a little bit aside based on how much you spent this year. And it's not just the gifts. It's the travel. It's the decorations. It's the wrapping paper. It's the extra
Christmas
food.
Dinner. Yeah.
So everybody has sales on the day after Christmas. So you think I can go out and buy something and hold it until, if it has a shelf life, hold it until the following Christmas?
I don't think most of the stuff that you buy for Christmas except for food has a shelf life. I always buy my cards right after Christmas.
Okay.
But I think the thing that that where you could run into trouble on is if you've already spent your entire budget by December the 24th, and now it's December the 26th, Boxing Day, mm-hmm. and you're going to go out and you're going to buy more stuff, where's the money coming from to buy that?
Right.
I mean, it's great to get a super deal, you know, and to save money. You know, you can save 50 or 75%. But if you don't have the money to pay for that, then, you know, there's no value there.
You know, Stephen, the key thing is that when you go into debt for Christmas, you're really subverting your long-term financial goals, like the college education for kids or your own retirement. And every time you go into debt to buy a present, you're choosing a physical object over a long-term need. So it's really important to weigh those two things and understand which is the most important.
So as you go through 2019, the best possible scenario is to set money aside every month and put it into a separate account?
Every month.
Every month, just
every
like
month.
You would for vacation.
Yes.
That's, you know, it's just another category.
It's a category line item in your budget.
And I think it's, you know, we talk to people all the time about their budgets and stuff. And a lot of times they don't get real specific about the amount in the category. You know, well, you know, it's about this or about that. Mm-hmm. You know, it can't be about anything. It has to be exact because you only have a finite amount to spend. And so the more exacting you are in all of your categories, the easier it is to be able to stay on target.
And I tell you, you may feel like a Grinch, but you are so happy come January 5th when the credit cards start coming in.
But that Grinch thing is you do it to yourself.
Exactly, but you don't feel bad when the balance on your credit card, you think, I can pay that, I've got the money. So as you are shopping this Christmas season and before you make that purchase, ask yourself, is this necessary? Is it within my budget? If you would like to share this show with others, simply go to compasscatholic.org, scroll down on the homepage, and click on the word podcast. And before we leave you today, let's get to an email that we received this week. John and Evelyn, I have some old debts that are about 6 years old. Given the fact that these debts will come off my credit report in less than a year, should I pay them or just leave them be? And before we leave you today, let's answer one of our emails that we received. John and Evelyn, I'm about to get married and my fiance wants to rent furniture from a rental center until we can afford to buy what we really want. Is this a good idea?
I think it's a terrible idea to pay to rent furniture. That's a really expensive way to do it, and you'd be better off seeing if you could get furniture from relatives that maybe aren't using it, or garage sales or flea markets. It might not be gorgeous, but it's better than paying a lot of money to rent furniture.
Absolutely. I agree with you. And in fact, we did that. Our very first house that we had, we were renting it. Actually, it was part of my salary for the job that I had at that time. And we had a complete house, three bedrooms, of early attic.
And it was just fine.
And it worked super. In fact, I really wish that we had been able to keep some of those things, because they were really great, great pieces of furniture.
You know, the other point is that when you do get the furniture that you really want, you'll appreciate it more. That's the first point. And the second point is that often living in a place and having things around you makes you decide on what you really want. Whereas if you buy the furniture to begin with,
because
it may
you
not
think you want it.
Because you think you want it, it may not serve you long term.
Good idea.
That's an excellent idea, Evelyn. And thank you for sending in your question. Now, if you have a financial challenge and you would like John and Evelyn to help you with the solution, simply email your question to ask@compasscatholic.org. In fact, if we use your question on the air, we will not use your name, but if we use your question on the air, we'll provide you a free copy of the book, Your Money Counts. This is a look at how the Bible tells us we should be handling money. Again, the email address to send your questions is ask@compasscatholic.org. On behalf of John and Evelyn Bean, I want to thank you so much for spending these 30 minutes with us. And a quick reminder, there is a brand new podcast that is posted to compasscatholic.org each and every Wednesday morning. This is Manage Your Money God's Way, and we are from Compass Catholic Ministries.